I just got off work, Ben. Like,
You look good for just getting off work.
I had the Christmas party today, so I just changed
Ooh.
hats. Yeah, that's why I dressed up for you guys. I was gonna get comfortable, and then I was like, well, it's Alex. Let me.
You look really snazzy. You look great.
Thanks,
You
man.
do. I look poor. I should
You
have
both
really.
look a little downtrodden right now. I mean, like, you guys could have thought like Rob's gonna
We
be
are
here.
definitely the worst dressed.
Yeah, I showed up for our audio podcast.
Yeah, I don't know what to call this. It's not, it feels like a Christmas party. It's the closest I'm getting to a Christmas party, I guess. Is
Yeah.
that so?
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry
Merry
Christmas, everybody.
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton.
As each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law.
And we know our rights. Oh my God. I think we're warmed up. You feel warm, Rob?
Oh, we're not officially in the pod?
Are we? Alex, if you're wondering, we haven't gotten better at this. If you're like, oh, this is them as like a well-oiled machine now.
Well, I thought we could start it with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weekday. It's a weekday. This is dangerous territory for Know Your Rights.
I don't.
Before my return episode, and now the boys are
Yeah.
back.
Yeah. The boys are
I
back in
was waiting
town.
for a better cue, and it never came.
I hear you.
I liked it.
Welcome. Welcome,
Welcome.
everybody.
We
Alex?
get Alex, give us your best welcome.
Give us a comment.
Welcome, everybody.
See,
That's I
look at
don't think
that.
that's his best, but well,
I was like 50% there.
it was debonair. It was very or what's the word that's been going around lately?
Very demure, very mindful.
Demure. Yes, that's the one.
That's like a word. What are you talking about? Like everyone's using it?
Yeah.
Yeah, on TikTok, man.
Okay.
It doesn't mean demure. It means pompous, actually, I believe. Which Alex, I am not calling you.
Yeah,
Wow. Wow,
it's
shots
a little
fired.
bit. It could be.
Shots
I
fired.
am. It's a weekday.
Fucking.
I've been known to pomp.
Mr. Sweater and a collar over here calling other people pompous. I don't
That's
know.
right.
I don't know about that.
Well, everybody, we got Alex Pereira here.
You
He's a plot.
practiced.
Yeah. Yep.
Hello.
Yep. I don't. I'm never gonna memorize how to say your
I think
last
it's
name.
just we'll roll with however you want to
Birthday dad. We got birthday
Birthday
dad here.
dad. It actually
Hello.
says birthday dad on your Zoom, which I appreciate.
Yeah,
That's
gotta
a.
keep it on brand.
I think at this point you might be our as close as we can get to an unofficial third member of this podcast.
Yeah, you guys had any recurring guests at all
This
across
is technically the second time because we had Leo on twice.
See, I'm just
The
assholing all night
fourth
tonight.
member.
But we won't count Leo tonight.
I don't, Leo, Leo's listening to this going, God, Colton, every time.
Leo's not listening to this. He
I've done
caught
that
on a
before.
while ago that we're not that good at podcast. No.
I did that to Leo once before because we were talking about Hollis, and I was like, Hollis is the only one who's ever played drums on, like, I think I named, like, By Any
Yeah.
Means Necessary. And then Leo was like, "No, I don't want to be an asshole, but I did play drums on that, and you like were there, Colton." And I was like, "Oh yeah, Leo exists. I'm sorry."
Well, but you were guest starring on us covering it. It was at a live event where you came, you weren't even holding the guitar. I
I
don't even think
wasn't.
we planned it.
That's also proof that I always have to play guitar if I'm on stage because I don't know what to. Alex, have you ever tried to just sing with no instrument?
Like once or twice, yeah.
What do you do with your hands?
Like a lot of shaking, a lot of movement.
I know the first installment of My Friend Sam, Colton and I's first band, I was just the front man. All I could do was clap. And I would just do like this really goofy just clapping with the mic. It didn't work.
I could be
I
wrong,
have an
Rob,
instrument.
but didn't you like crouch a lot? You crouched. You were a croucher.
I don't remember. I kind of pushed it out. I pushed the memory out.
Oh my God. Well, everybody,
Alex
we
does not look entertained at all.
I'm very entertained.
There's a little bit of a.
I'm picturing you crouching and clapping on stage, and I'm having a
That's more or less. Yeah, the good energy. I like this vibe. I like it.
I
If
think
I
you.
saw that walking into a bar or something, I would have to stop and watch.
Watching was the best part of me singing live at that point in time.
We have everyone for our New Year's episode. This is being recorded. We're in the thrall of Father Christmas, but
yeah.
Or whatever holiday you want to celebrate December. But we also are going to be celebrating New Year's soon. And I had the brilliant idea of talking about Death Cab for Cutie's transatlanticism for what I think are obvious reasons. Is it obvious?
It's very obvious. Yeah. Okay. I didn't realize until now that that's the New Year's episode, and that makes perfect sense.
So now it all vibes together.
Yeah. So yeah. Start method acting. Go. How was your Christmas?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. Everybody had a nice Christmas.
Yeah, it was very good.
I don't think the illusion is that it hasn't been Christmas yet. Is that?
It's safe to say it don't feel like Christmas.
That's my favorite Christmas song. I was listening to the Christmas episode on the drive home from work the other day.
And Colton, if you're not sure, that was a reference from a song I wrote about Christmas.
I think the theme of tonight is Colton is a bad friend. that's the title of the episode.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I made fun of you both diving into this. So it's just bad friends. Bad friends here.
That's actually a podcast.
Yeah, that is a podcast.
We need to settle something real quick. Alex, there's a joke going on that you've referenced that Rob and I, we had a talk with each other, and we're old men at this point. You're still a young spring chicken.
You can say that.
We're old, balding on this part of men.
Hence the hats that we're wearing.
There's a giraffe joke that we have between us. Yes. That neither of us can remember.
I remember a mural.
Where'd the giraffe come from?
I tried to think of that joke often, and I think it just mostly didn't make sense, and we would take it, stretch it as far as we could, because I think it was the giraffe mural or whatever painting.
Yeah.
And it said something like giraffic design.
Yes, I think you're right, because the joke I'm recalling is something like, what do you call a park for giraffes, Giraffic Park.
Yeah, and you would just go a bunch of giraffes stuck in traffic. It's a giraffic jam or whatever. And you would stretch the.
So this was on our way to a show?
Yeah, this was something in Oakland. I remember being at your apartment when we were just hammering out these bad jokes.
I think that's where you played at Monsters Island, right?
I think that had to have been the show, because I've not played out there too often.
I was going to say, the only other one I remember is us driving to play at Mars Hill in Hollister.
Yes.
And on the way there, finding out that it was a Christian coffee shop, and that we had to rewrite some of my lyrics.
Classic. Love.
on the way there. And then we had to sign a contract in a side room. It was the weirdest show I think I've ever played.
Yeah. I remember the first time we played there, we wanted to do like O Comely by New Trimoke Hotel or something. And I had to ask the guy, I was like, so there's no bad words in this song, but can we say semen? And he said, I don't even want to hear that word. Can you imagine if my 7-year-old daughter comes up to me and says, Daddy, what's semen?
Part of the, I mean,
used to be her.
Yeah. Tell her where she came from, dude.
That was, yeah. And there's a recording of that still, I think. I think there's a split.
Yes.
I don't know if we want to post somewhere that.
On Bandcamp, I believe.
I'll try to get my hands on it. I haven't played in the background right now.
I think there's a cover that we all did of Brand New, just to say how great everything has aged.
Yes.
Oh, man. Including us, guys. Including us.
We've aged great.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about something newer that is still slowly aging, like songs from this year.
Look at you, buddy. Look at you with your segues. I did ask all of us to bring in your songs of the year, which I think, Alex, it sounds like you just did the assignment as assigned.
Yeah, I'm very confused by both of your answers, but I'm willing to hear you out.
And Rob and I both said, well, we're going to come up with several. And every time I give Rob like an instruction for this podcast, I'm like, let's do this. He's like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. That's not what you asked.
Yeah.
But here's how I'm going to justify doing it, because I just want to do it.
I twist it up a little bit. I like to shake things up, but well, the difficult part for me with this is I don't listen to like like if I chose my song of the year, it would be a song that's not from this year. You know, like the song I listen to the most, it's not from this year.
I agree because that's me with every other piece of media. Like literature, I don't like very rarely, unless it's like an author I'm like obsessed with and so I'm following them. S.A. Cosby, by the way, everybody, got a new book next year. Very excited for that. But I'm not good at keeping up with those trends. Maybe films, but even there, I don't go to theater, so I have to wait. So I can't see The Brutalist until January at best. But I'm usually bad at this. This year I was slightly better with music. But I want to hear Alex first. You are our honorary third A member. Yeah.
Yeah, I could have went with a few. I try to listen to new stuff throughout the year.
Cultured, Rob. He's cultured.
I listen to new stuff, but it's on bedroom radio, a bass blown partner.
There you go.
That's where I hear my new stuff, and then whenever I get to listen to music in my free time, it's for Know Your Rights.
God.
I'm going with Are You Looking Up by McGee. He is Dijon's guitar player. So I know you guys really liked that record too when I sent it to you a few years back.
I remember that.
So it's similar to that style. Just really interesting, intricate guitar playing with like a cool, fucked up pedal sound and a
There was almost a, I don't know
beautiful
if,
voice.
I listened to this 20 minutes ago, you know, or well, we talked longer than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before we started, I listened to this. And there was almost a little bit of a, I don't know if 80s vibe is the right term, but there just felt like that kind of percussive-y.
Yeah, the kind of slap
Yeah,
picking
yeah.
shit. Yeah.
Here, I don't know if anyone else is going to get this reference, but I kept thinking of Joey Eppert from Three.
I love Three. Well,
Josh.
I loved a song from Three. Two songs, maybe three songs from Three.
But he had that very kind of like percussive rhythmic, like Travis Pick kind of a guitar style, and it reminded me. And like the way the melody like folds into the guitar work, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
I
it was
really
cool.
like
So
that song.
there were two versions, right?
There's more like a live one on YouTube.
Okay, because when I Spotified it, there were two on there, so I just listened to both and it seemed like there was a slight difference, but
Is it, was he have, I don't know anything about this dude though, Alex. Does he
yeah,
have
same.
a record of that or?
Yeah, it's Two Star and the Dream Police. It came out springtime, I think, this year. Okay.
Springtime.
What would
Yeah,
you give it
it's
out of 5 stars? What would you give it?
the song itself,
No, no, the
the whole
album.
record. I give it like a good solid 4.
Okay. And now the song itself, out of 100, what would you give it? Because this is our rating system.
They did change it. It's now out of 100.
For
I thought
single songs, we have this whole thing.
things have
Okay.
devolved, Alex,
Yeah.
severely since you've been here last.
Is breaking down.
Your arbitrary ranking, what would you give it?
I'm gonna say a nice like a 92.
I
92.
want to say that Casey from the Deer Hunter did like, severe damage to this show, and since then we've spiraled into
I've heard a little bit about
very
that.
weird arbitrary ratings.
Yeah.
Colton had a tough time. I confronted the guy head on. Well, via the internet.
Yeah.
The best way to confront somebody is just via messaging.
Just for everyone to know, Casey Crescenzo is severely online all the
He
time.
is ve he's very online. He's very
You'd have to be
available.
to hear this podcast.
And he was very nice. I do yeah. That was perfect, Alex.
Oh
Shots
my God.
fired.
So I love that. Rob, I want you to go first. I think we both
I would be
have a
second,
1A, 1B
technically.
situation.
Oh,
God, what
yeah.
is up with me?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you all. I'm going to let you know when we pass into my bedtime. It will be during this conversation. I'll say, and this is when I'm usually asleep. So we'll see. But Rob, give me your 1A.
My 1A was I just heard it because it just recently came out, but it was Will Smith Tantrum with Joyner Kersee. And I loved it. I was just so giddy to her. I'm like, it was the child in me because Will Smith was my guy as a kid. You know, I was like, oh, Will Smith's got a new hip hop song out. And it didn't suck. It was good. It wasn't even silly. It was talking about relevant things to him.
Does
I just thought it
he
was.
talk about slapping Chris Rock?
He goes around it. He goes around it, that's for sure. He just talks about how he's going through some things, you know, and
He's going through
he's
some
not willing
stuff.
to give up yet.
I'm willing to
Pun
say he's
intended.
had a hard couple of years.
Yeah.
I'll
It traumatized him.
He did use the term trauma.
Oh. I wasn't even aware that I should have done the pre-homework. Like,
I was about to say nobody listened to this.
And listened to these songs.
Can I say I saw Rob's text saying it was Will Smith tantrum, and I had time, and I said no.
It's good. It's good. It's playing in the back. It's not bad. It's a much more modern type of hip hop song. But I love hip hop, and I thought Will Smith did a great job. Probably not my song of the year, but probably the excitement I had.
It's the song of the year in your heart.
Yeah, in my heart. The child in me's heart in me.
Can anyone here rap a Will Smith song from memory?
Only if I'm listening to it. I wouldn't be able to do it from memory, but if it was on, I think I could rap along.
Maybe. I could do it now, but maybe Wild West. Wild Wild West. It's possible. There was a period of time where, and I don't think there's any actor that I can imagine that does this now, but it was like every Will Smith film, there was a song that he did with it. And so it's just, that was the expectation. If he did a film, he was going to do a song that came with it.
That was what was kind of cool about this song, is it didn't have any, like, it wasn't like Miami or Summertime, like, to go with the other Will Smith hip hop tropes. This is one where I'm like, oh, there's a hip hop song. There's not really an exaggerated theme to it.
So what is your 1B? Now I'm curious.
Bruno Mars and frickin' Rosé. It is such a pop song, but it's a worm that has gotten in my ear.
Alex, what's your mileage on Bruno Mars?
Because you guys really have devolved. That's what's getting picked on the Know Your Rights podcast.
I know how it's written. I know that it goes with a lot of pop tropes. And it is clearly written for teenagers. You know? And I'm a kid at heart.
Oh, I mean, they're popular for a reason. But
I want to keep making excuses for Alex. Like, Alex, it's not like this. It's not. We've had a year.
There's integrity behind it. Well, you'll see. You'll see. but I can't help it. I still like pop songs too.
I think my pick. This is where I guess both of you have kind of taught me my own lesson. I've thawed my heart. I have two picks, and one, it's like the actual, like, the art part of me.
It's really good. I listened to it. I really liked it.
Have any of you heard Mount Erie's Night Palace?
I have not heard that yet. I do like Mount Erie a lot.
It is. I don't know. Mount Erie, was it A Crow Looked at Me? Is
that, I was able to listen to that one time, maybe twice.
I think it's I will say that, other than maybe Nick Cave, the album he did right after his son died, I think it's one of the most emotionally devastating pieces of music, and even calling it music feels strange, right?
That's the cool thing behind the song that you're talking about.
Yeah. Phil Everham, right? He is formerly the Microphones, turns to Mount Erie. What I love about him is it's almost anti-music. Like, he's taught me so much about what a song is and what it's not. I think where, like, that record, Alex and I have heard A Crow Looked at Me. It's all about the death of his wife from cancer. And it is the most, like, emotionally honest record I've heard about grief and loss. And what I have
heard of it. I just haven't listened to it.
It's one of those things where I have not talked about it on this podcast a lot for reasons. Because I just think it's not even a scab. It's like an open wound. And what I appreciate, and this is where I keep bringing up Nick Cave, because he was almost my other... Wild God is like my other favorite record of the year. I think it's so great. But both of those guys, it's like when there's like a kind of grief narrative in art, it's a one and done, or it feels like it is. And it's like a way for us to, like, we're always trying to push people to get over loss quicker and quicker, right? And what I appreciate about Phil Everham is since that record, like, you tell with every record he's put out since then, he's still trying to meditate on his wife dying and like how it changes everything and like little things. And there's this ongoing theme about trying to find metaphor in nature after loss and like trying to see signs of your loved one and seeing nothing and feeling further isolation from nature. And this song, it's not about his wife passing, I don't think. And yet it is, it's about all of it. And that like beautiful meditative moment where I don't know if either of you have this, you just get lost in it. Like, I was
I did have a moment, just because also I just gotten off of work and I'm like preparing for it, and I'm like, okay, I gotta listen to these. And it hits that midsection where I'm like, I get it. This is supposed to be the sounds of nature. This is what it sounds like to him. But I'm like, and this is supposed to be the song that he's hearing, even though nobody's around him. It can't be, like, he heard music and then he goes, this is what it sounds like. And it's kind of like staticky, and then you kind of hear waves come in, and then for a moment there's kind of the whale sound.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to the cool little just individual chord strums. And then a band kicks in briefly, but I loved it. I really
did. You just
did.
Summarized the song. Like, that's what you did.
Absolutely. I listened to the song. I got gotcha. You.
Did. I believe you. I believe yeah. that you did.
But I thought it was very cool, but it wasn't a moment where I'm like, I'm not in my most reflective state right this minute.
He does do a lot of really cool arrangements and strong song structure, weird stuff.
I thought it was brilliant. I just was like, I'm not high. Basically, that's what it was, guys. I just wasn't high. I'm like, and that's where I go, like,
That's how I feel about a lot of the songs on this Death Cab record. I'm like, you have to be kind of stoned.
You gotta kind of be in that state.
I do, like, not to, like, you know, show our hands too early, but I have feelings about this record, Transatlanticism. But I wanted to just quickly give that record, if you haven't, everyone, Night Palace is beautiful. And I love it. My 1B was Shaboozy, a bar song, because...
Bullshit, that was your 1A.
Well, we're a divided nation. Here's the thing. We are a divided nation, and I mean this from my heart. That record is what will heal America. That Shaboozy record is actually what will heal us.
So you think... You mean that as in it will actually do it, or it could?
Well, I mean, it's released and it didn't, so it didn't work.
I personally will not be listening to something called Shaboozy, but I wish you luck.
It's not a terrible song.
I think it's beautiful. Anyway,
I think it's better than Jaquan's.
It's blue collar. It's class warfare to me. It's all about, I don't know. I'm not going to go more. I want to keep it to
listener in a previous episode. We discussed that song.
I've done it several times. That's why I knew I had to talk about it. Cause anyone listening to this podcast for the year 2024, if I said anything other than Shaboozy, they would go,
no, you're lying. Yeah.
You've said that multiple times. Know what it is, Alex? I went on vacation this year and I became like the, you know,
I think I heard a little bit about vacation.
Person who like gets braided and feels very, I became that person. And so I'm trying to cling to him.
That's a good arc for you, I think. Yeah.
Non-grumpy Colton.
I would watch that show. I agree. That is a good character arc.
How Colton got his groove back.
Yeah. All right. It was Shaboozy.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseblown Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of The Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball and Entertainment podcast.
All right. I have to, like, I feel like to set this up because I wanted it to be thematic, of course, I get it. But also, I wanted to talk about Death Cab for a long time on this podcast. And I really, well, there hasn't been a good time to do it. And trying to do their discography at this point, I think is difficult. They just keep putting things out. I think they're at 10. I don't know.
Yeah, they got a lot. I think we would have been able to choose particular albums, which is something we've kind of started using within the formula of the show.
But sadly, I think, this is my opinion, the back half of their discography is rough. Is there any consensus on that?
Yeah, I mean, I did enjoy the one from, I think it was 2023, Asphalt Meadows. Was that the most recent one they put out?
So that's actually my first question. I don't think, Alex, we have talked a lot about Death Cab. What's your journey with these guys?
Yeah, so I was never a huge Death Cab fan. I mean, it was kind of just like the popular indie rock of the time when it was out. And I think I probably only checked him out from like the OC and like Seth Cohen on that show was a big Death Cab. And I'm like, I should know that band. I should listen to that band.
Yes.
And so I've like tangentially listened to their songs. And out of all the records, Transatlanticism is the one that I've spent the most time with.
Interesting.
It's the high school. They're kind of the high school indie band for, I think, kind of like, I this sounds like an insult. I don't mean it to be, but kind of like Training Wheels for indie music.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. Does that feel
I can
right?
Kind of see his voice is so freaking pretty that it lends itself to a larger audience. I can think of indie bands where it'd be really hard to get people to latch on. Even talking Neutral Milk Hotel, I think that's an indie band that somebody who's not really into indie music is, they're going to have to take a moment with that voice because he almost sounds like he's bored. I love Neutral Milk Hotel, by the way.
I've been thinking a lot about Ben Gibbard's voice because this record made me kind of, everything about this band and Ben Gibbard, all of it, I've been kind of rethinking. Is his voice good? I don't know.
It's a little, it's kind of boring at times. It's pretty, it's nice, but it's lacking in emotion a little bit, I feel like.
It does not have a lot of edge.
Yeah.
Definitely no edge.
Yeah.
I would love to hear Ben Gibbard scream.
That's a big problem I have with most of this record is there's not much edge to it. It's pretty tame. It's pretty soft.
Yeah, that's just kind of his voice. It's breathy. It reminds me of the guy who does James Taylor. It's like kind of that type of voice to where you're not going to get edge. You're not going to get, but it's just clearly pretty. And for a lot of music listeners, and I should really say for a lot of people who will listen to music, that's going to grab them a little quicker. Where I said, like, there's certain vocalists, you got to kind of, I say it all the time about Jeff Rickley. You got to like really get into the music to appreciate that guy's voice. Cause he doesn't have your plainly obvious pretty singing voice, where I think Ben Gibbard does have the plainly obvious pretty singing voice.
It's somewhere between a croon to me and like melodic, but it's also, I mean, I think there are a number of tracks on this record and like other, I mean, this is not even my favorite Death Cab record. Same. I think, what is it? Narrow Stairs. Is that one is a Crooked Stairs?
Narrow Stairs.
Yeah. Narrow Stairs is, I've got to be my number one. I think, Rob, we've talked before. Do you want to share or you want to save it?
Now's the time. I like Narrow Stairs probably more than this album as well. But Plans is probably my favorite album by them.
I think out of all of their longer songs, which is kind of a thing they do a lot in their discography, I Will Possess Your Heart is the one that I will listen to fully and enjoy. Because I think that song has some,
hey, Kitty,
some edge to it.
It does, and I think that's a...
I was talking to Alex's cat, by the way, because I don't think...
I was like, Rob's got a kitty in there, too.
I saw the kitty. My bad.
When I think of what defines Death Cab, like when I think of a Death Cab song, and this is from when I first heard this record, and like We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes, all of that, it's a lot of notes, like notes rather than chords, and if they do use chords, it's like sparingly... But I think they really do excel at those like over 6 minute songs, like in different ways. I guess we'll talk about it with this record, but I agree, Alex. I think I Will Possess Your Heart and a few others. I think it's a skill. It's something we've talked about with Jimmy Eat World too, where we've covered bands where longer tracks, I'm not going to talk about Streetlight Manifesto, but I guess we're doing it. Like it feels.
Why did you say it?
It feels like a mistake that a song ended up that long. Like they didn't think about it. They were writing verses that were like 10 bars or whatever. And like we got to repeat it and we got to have a bridge.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like there's a real growth to the song. It just like, let's just do it one more time.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like trying to follow a traditional structure. And I think Death Cab is so great at being intentional about how those longer tracks, because they never feel, it's not about a lot of parts. It's about the build, right? It's, I guess, very much like Explosions in the Sky, but listenable.
My only issue with Explosions in the Sky was just, it was instrumental. And again, that state of mind listening, where I'm like, I don't have anything to really grasp onto, like such as a voice.
Get bored.
It's unfortunate, but yeah, after a while, I'm like, okay, that was cool. The instrumentation sounded cool. I don't know if I'm coming back, guys.
I guess, wait, when did Postal Service come out?
This is something I learned doing research for this for this episode. I didn't know that Death Cab was before Postal Service.
I mean, because they put out multiple records before Transatlanticism.
Like you guys, it's not like Death Cab was this big band for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then.
I think Give Up was around the same time as this record, either 2004, 2005. Might have
I think
been
it's right
year.
Before.
By what I'm looking at, they both seem to be around 2003.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
In and around, but close to, and I'm not sure the writing wise where it worked out. If you two had to decide between like this record or Give Up, as like you could only listen to one over the other, which one do you think you would choose? I think I know my answer.
I would choose this one.
That's tough.
I put Alex into a quandary.
Yeah. I'd probably pick this one.
See, I actually think Ben Gibbard is better suited as Postal Service. Like if I could go back in time, if I could Bill and Ted Death Cab, I would tell him, keep it up with Postal. I just felt like that was, I mean, I don't think that record is like amazing. I think it is. We're going to talk about overrated. I think it's a little overrated, but when I go back, I just think it's great. Still, I don't know.
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah, I love that record.
Yeah. I just was a little more like I had my decision already made. Alex pondered it. You know,
I think they both have really good songs on it, and they both got some clunkers.
Here's the thing: is speaking specifically via song, my favorite song is easily on this.
Yeah,
on Transatlanticism.
I saw when I was at Santa Barbara and I was working production, Death Cab played a show at our arena. So we did like backstage stuff. So I got to watch them basically from backstage. And I think it might have been after Narrow Stairs. And maybe it was like when their other record was about to come out. It was one of those things where at that stage of their careers too, they're all a little bit older, and it felt very, it was the most kind of low energy, like first time I remember thinking, oh, it's like a band I like, but there's not anything, nothing about it felt like a live performance. And then afterwards, and this is nothing on them, they just got in the car, they drove away backstage, they all looked really tired. It was just all like, oh, this is what a middle-aged band looks like. Kind
Isn't
of
that what this entire album is about? Being tired on the road, essentially?
I don't think I was listening well to the lyrics. But
I read the Wikipedia. Classic rock. Wikipedia, please, again, if you would be willing to sponsor us.
I thought about you. I knew you would do your research for us, so I didn't.
That's Wikipedia. That's the research.
I
watched a little bit of a documentary.
What documentary do they have?
I don't know. It was on YouTube. I just typed in Transatlanticism documentary. It's like a fan documentary.
Fair. Well, let's do this. We'll start with our track one. We'll move up. We have roughly four categories. There's a chance that Alex might have to leave before we're completely done. So Alex, feel free at the end to just burn all of your categories up.
For sure. Yeah. I'll save it as long as I can.
We will hopefully get to, I think, best song, worst song. I don't know if either of you have an overrated, underrated. I think
I don't know if I know about enough about what is considered, like, what do people really like?
I kind of ran into that issue with my overrated.
See, I'm drawing from my like high school, like this was, Death Cab is the MySpace band. Like, you know, you had the little quote next to your profile pic. More people that I knew than any other band were quoting Death Cab lyrics. And
oh, God.
So I have a very good sense. I'll be everybody's ear to the ground.
Just
with
one of your friends has the glove compartment isn't accurately named.
100% yes. Yes.
Somebody did have. Oh, wow.
That's exactly why I brought it up. Yeah.
We'll get
there. Oh, my God.
But so, yeah, I'm doing kind of a circle of friends is how I broke down some of the categories for this. And again, these are arbitrary. It's just kind of leads the show along, adds a little bit of flair.
So if you're listening, Ben, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Casey, tell him sorry. All right. Yeah. Let's start with the new year, which is also the reason why we're talking about this album.
Exactly. And Colton, you posed a very interesting question to me at the end of last episode, and I answered it pretty fast. this is a holiday song.
Oh, yeah. Alex, is this a holiday song?
For sure. You don't get a lot of New Year's songs, but it counts.
Yeah, I think the lyrics are literally aimed at the holiday.
I get it, but it's also, I mean, it's like a movie that is set during Christmas or a Christmas movie, right? Like, that's my whole vibe with this song. Is it? Yep.
I'm still not settled on your opinion on what a Christmas movie is. I feel like you're one of those Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
Well, I also just don't watch Die Hard.
I've never seen it.
I think you'd think the opposite, that that's just a movie that's set during Christmas. So he might argue that it's not a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I would easily, yeah. Like, I also don't like films that try to make Santa Claus into like a like military, like industrial complex weird dude. I find that to be atrocious. But
I'm my Santa.
That's not my Santa, everybody. No, thank you. But I famously, I don't know if I'm saying famously right. I don't like holiday songs. I just don't. I don't have a, and I don't, also don't like songs about taking a holiday as in a vacation. I feel like Rob knows this about me. I said Jet Black.
Yes,
New Year,
I may have heard.
Jet Black New Year. I can't do it.
That's a holiday song. And I think that this is the New Year, or yeah, it's just called the New Year. Yeah, sorry. In the similar vein.
So then why do I like this song so much? I don't think
because
anyone
of the drums. The drums are so good on this. On this whole album, I love the percussion.
It's also the most unique sounding song, I think, on this record. Like, there's a lot of songs on this album that have that same, like, heavy notes, very, like, I don't know. It's got that mid-tempo...
Can I hit you with this? I hear, yes, a little bit of Tom Petty in the chord structure, like the way that it has that kind of like jang jang, then vocal part jang jang. It's like, oh, that's just Rock 101. They're doing some Rock 101 right here, and then the drums just sound killer doing that little hi-hat thing.
Yeah, well, the 16ths in that he does, it is pretty fantastic. Is this, Alex, is this hitting any of your categories?
I've always liked this song. I think, though, I fall
Hi, Kitty.
On the opposite side of where I think it's a holiday song that doesn't totally work for me. So it just feels like something that you're regulated to listening to on New Year's Day as like, this is how I'm celebrating. And it's like you said, the MySpace status updates. And like, okay, on January 1st, I'm going to post Death Cab. And like, so that's all I think of when I think of this song.
Is that what kids do now? Like, do kids, like, I'm saying kids, like, I feel like I'm a million
like
years
old. Yeah.
Are they like posting on Instagram? Like every, cause this was like every New Year's, it'd be like, yeah, this is the New Year. Yeah. I don't feel any different.
Yeah. So I feel like it's kind of memed it into the ground where I don't care to listen to this song as much. I mean, it's a great song.
Yeah. I think it's
not my favorite New Year's song. That's going to go to Together We'll Ring in the New Year by Motion City Soundtrack. That's a fucking good song.
See, now you're now I'm getting a little bit, I'm coming around a little bit.
That's here. A good news. That's a holiday song. It's a very good one. So it's hard to top that if you're going to get a New Year's Day song.
Well, Colton already nailed mine. It's like literally he like nailed it. He like hit it with a hammer as much as he possibly could. But yeah, Jet Black New Year
I'm
for me.
Sorry.
But to Alex's point, every New Year I listen to Jet Black New Year and at some point the New Year. I feel like I have to.
I think the thing
for that reason, I'm giving it overrated for this one. If I had to choose one.
Good. I like that.
That's actually a great burn for this one.
On me, actually. It seems like he was like, because Rob said that.
That's right. If you like it so much, I think that's my only gauge of what the Death Cab fans are into.
That's actually really good. You're almost swaying me. I may have to do that.
I got one to burn later on. I do. But I think this is where, for me, as like Ben Gibbard is one of those guys that I have always really enjoyed. And I find him like at different points. I'm like, I love his songwriting. Like, I love like the specifics of things that he brings in. I love how he's kind of weaving these things together. I think his rhyme schemes are pretty great. But then also at times I'm like, I don't always know if I think he has a lot to say. And I think this album, this song is like a good example where at the base of the song, it's just, it's kind of like the dude who crosses his fingers like, oh, we're making resolutions. How come? Like, it's very kind of dickish. Like, come on, man.
Have fun, Ben Gibbard. Why are you?
No, I don't want to hear a happy.
Everybody, you're not really going to. Party hates you.
Yes.
Even like the classic New Year's song "Auld Lang Syne" is actually a bummer. Like all New Year's songs are supposed to be bummers.
It's like the ball drops and he's like, "Who cares?" Oh,
I'm going to text both of you on New Year's and be like, "Are you enjoying this right now?" Like, I don't actually care.
I don't feel any different.
All right,
I don't feel any different.
Let's move to "Lightness," track two. There's a tear in the fabric of your favorite dress. Can we first point out the thing I think makes this record, to me, age really, really well is how it moves from track to track. That production, I think it's really cool.
It flows very well. I agree with your assessment of him not having much to say lyrically on some of these songs. So I wasn't grasping at much.
No, I like this song, but there's also I read a couple of different me doing my research, a couple of different interpretations of what the lyrics mean, and none of them matched what my interpretation was. To where I was like, this is kind of creepy. I got a little bit of creepy on it. Like, what do you guys think the ivory lines lead to? Whoa-ho.
I don't think it means anything. I think it's like a weird Rorschach test of lyrics where it's like, it looks like good lyrics on paper and he's saying poetic things. And
I agree with that, but I finally found somebody who was like, I pictured like a bra strap, like ivory lines lead to whoa-ho. or some like stockings or something, you know, like it's... And he even says, like, in the, what is it, like, you shouldn't trust your instincts, or what is it?
It's
almost like a yes
means no. Instincts are misleading.
Yeah, it's almost a yes means no type of moment to me when I listen to it.
Oh, is this like the baby it's cold outside reckoning for?
A little. Again, I think he's writing from the Randy Newman perspective, to where it's like, this isn't what I'm thinking. I'm writing from somebody else's perspective.
I think there were a lot of songs like this in that era of like, oh, I'm a bad guy. I'm going to eat you up. I'm going to treat you bad. And
there's one track, not from this record, but there's a Death Cab track. And it's like something Black Sun. It's one of those. And it's so transparently about Zooey Deschanel after Ben Gibbard. And it's written in a way where I kept, every time I hear it, I go, oh, so that's why they're not together. Like he sounds crazy. Like it's spiteful in the way where I'm like, Ben, you're not coming out on top of this one, buddy. You gotta stop it.
Well, and funny you say that, there's another song on this album that kind of supports my theory on Lightness.
I will say, I think that first verse I really like. I think the second verse where he gets too lost in his metaphors, your heart is a river, your brain is a dam, I'm the fish.
Can't get to the core, yeah.
That's tortured. But the first line, I mean, that's where, again, I think he excels the most, where he's getting us in these, like, these really tight little images, and it kind of pulls back to where there's a tear in the fabric, and it's almost like the camera zoomed into this one thing, and like we slowly pull back to get the scene. That's neat. I love that. But it's like we've already mentioned, maybe this is the theme. It doesn't move anywhere. There's no, like, I think any song we just talked about, including the great Will Smith.
How dare you, dude? That's a good song. You haven't even fucking listened to it.
Sorry.
That is judging a book by its cover. I'm pretty sure you're an English fucking doctor. You're not supposed to do that.
Pretty sure you're a book doctor. You should be better.
Rob, you know they don't call me an English doctor, right?
No, I do. And now Alex just coined a new phrase for me. I'm bringing back book doctor.
I'm walking around campus next semester with the stethoscope and the lab coat. I'm like, English doctor, I'm here. What do you need?
Yeah. I see what it says whenever I'm invited to or get an email from you, Dr. Colton Saylor. I see it.
All right. I think, is this anyone's anything? I don't think so.
Did you guys, I don't know which version of the album you guys are listening to, but there's a 10-year anniversary one on Apple Music that has like all the demos at the end.
That was the one I listened to, but every time it started, I never listened to it. I was
checking out some of the demos today. Some of those are even more interesting than the final album tracks. They were doing weird drum machine stuff. There was like on this song, some mouth percussion starting it.
I wish I would have kept going then, because I just started hearing the beginning of the New Year demo. And I went like, I'm not interested. I didn't have a chance. My phone wasn't next to me, so I couldn't switch. I'm like, got like a minute in and went, no, I'm not doing it.
I mean, the magic sauce to Death Cab, I think, is Chris Walla. Like, not even as it, were you going to say, Alex?
Yeah, you know, he's a big DIY music scene supporter. I actually tried to get him on the episode. I didn't get a response, but
yeah. That would have been.
He hangs out on Twitter a lot and is super like.
I'm pretty sure he talked
nice to all the upcoming talked to
Casey
fans.
Crescenzo and was like, "Do not go on that podcast."
Yeah, probably. He got a text like, "No, you're right. Don't ever."
You know what? Go change a chord from major to minor, Casey. That's don't talk to us.
But I agree. Wall is kind of like the driving force because he from my research, he was more interested in doing studio work than traveling. That's actually what caused them to kind of take the hiatus, and Ben Gibbard went on to do Postal Service.
I think that's, again, I think when I hear everything, it gives these songs depth that I don't think they always necessarily would have otherwise. And like hearing the demos are so interesting too. I don't know. They're kind of band where I think their music exists in all these different parts. Where I can't imagine Ben Gibbard playing a lot of these songs acoustically and thinking they feel anything necessarily. I don't know. Maybe a couple. Title and Registration, number 3.
This is my underrated due to my circle of friends. Because the first lyric can be a big deterrent.
The first lyric is the best part about it, I think.
No, you don't.
So can we specify?
I think it's a really funny... good line.
I think it's funny, but I actually like what the song discusses after that, to where it's like the real reason that popped into his head is what he's like, he's reaching for his title and registration. I'm assuming he got pulled over or whatever, and he finds the like photos that have been there. And I just like the fact that it's almost like he has this quick moment of like, man, I shoved all these memories away, you know, and all of a sudden they're flooding back.
It's a cute little way to get there, but I still think the most interesting part is just that as a lyric, a standalone, and that guitar hook. Like,
that's very good.
I would have said this as maybe best song, but I'm pretty sure this was probably the single, and it's probably the most popular on the record, I think.
But we have had a number of experiences where the lead single also ends up being the underrated because it's so easy to underestimate, yeah. Right? Whatever that. And like at this point, I don't know, talking about singles feels so outdated, but true. It used to be a thing, everyone. There used to be a thing.
Believe it or not.
Singles
it meant something.
What are you talking about?
Will Smith just dropped a single.
I'm going to have Rose, to write Will Smith.
Rosé just dropped a single.
I'm with Alex in this. I think on its own, it can be a little, Rob and I have talked about like those lines where it could either be really cringy or... it just works and they all come from the same place. And like, you don't always know, right? If you're just writing by yourself, which one it necessarily is. And like, I've shared on this podcast lines that I've written that I still am embarrassed by that other people seem to like that I think is silly.
And then he forced me to also bring up mine.
Shame you back.
Alex, do you have one, Alex? Do you have a line you want to share now that you wish you had?
Oh man.
Just to
put
to
me
share
on the spot. No, I don't.
Yeah,
I got two.
I'm proud of it.
Don't worry, Alex. We have a list. No.
Yeah, bring it out.
We do not. I could talk about lines of yours that drive me. Can we all just say something, everyone? What is the... Here, give me a second. I know I keep embarrassing Alex, but I don't know. Like, if we're getting close to one. You might have to go. People, just listen to The Nightmare by Every Atlas. Yeah. Just listen to Nightmare. Just... I think that's one of the best songs I've ever heard recorded at that place.
I thought for sure you were going to say, like, there's a lyric in there that I think you could have.
Yeah, done. I was waiting for what's the...
No, there's no lyric. I just while I have you here, if you're listening to this podcast, I'll put a link up. It's extraordinary. I think that's
always play it in the... Do I have your permission to play it in the background?
Oh, yeah, you can play it in the background. I do. I could have... This song could be recorded better. I like this song a lot. I think I had, like, we couldn't find a glockenspiel in time, so it's, like, fake, like... Something going on.
That sounds like something that we would make you do. We'd be like, "We don't, man. I'm sorry."
I just did it. I'm like, "Okay, well, this is close enough. This works."
Yeah, but sometimes that's all you got.
I digress. I know, but I
have you
I,
found a glockenspiel?
I got one. I'll redo it.
I really do like Title Registration so much. I think I will put it also as my underrated because I think it is. You've all mentioned the guitar line. Like I talked about all the notes that Death Cab uses. There's a great song not on this record, Photo Booth, that's like that as well, where it's a lot of like da 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 da. It's very much like Pinback, if anyone's familiar with Pinback, where they play a lot of notes, but it's rudimentary and yet it works. It's sort of, it's against the melody, right? It's not to the melody, which is nice. Like if he would easily sing that da 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 da, but he doesn't, he kind of croons over it. And it's unique. I like it.
Yeah, and I like
reference our previous episode. This guitar part gives me a bit of a Tom DeLonge vibe, and how it's just that descending and ascending, repeating pattern kind of thing.
Yeah, and then a cool xylophone solo where the drums actually start having the more organic fill to close it out. I think that's such a cool bridge. Yeah, I like this song.
All right, let's move it to Expo 86 track.
I relate. I very much so relate to this song. I was pretty much listening to this song right before we started recording this episode. Oh, I'm like, yep, I am waiting for something to go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the octaves, like don't.
The drums sound really nice on this one.
Yeah.
It does. You know, there's one part of this song though that bugs me every time. It bugged me when I was younger too. When they go into the heavy part in the bridge, and it's that effect on the guitar that every kid in a garage band used to like that. I don't even know what that effect is, but it's so out of place at that part that I never know why they use it.
I think that they were trying to go. I think that's probably Walla's fault. I can't remember his first name, so I'm just going to keep calling him Walla.
Don't you dare shame Chris Walla. I don't think it was
Chris Walla.
Chris Walla,
can
you tell us why it happened, Chris?
See, you're shaming him. I'm not.
I'm shaming you.
I like that part.
Tell us why you put the garage band guitar phaser on this specific part.
I think it's supposed to be kind of fitting. Like they want this whole album to have a lot of ambience, even on songs that are a little, this is a little more of a straightforward song, but they still find a way to add it in. And I think within the album, I think it's fitting. Maybe if you just listen to it as a one and done song, then it might be a little, I don't know, out of place.
This is where I don't know what you all think with the lyrics in this case. I think they're one of the stronger ones just because there's some cool lines here. I actually do see a through line with what he's saying. I think the kind of heavy bridge part. I think that's great.
Yeah. The lyrically, this song, like I said, it is the most identifiable song to me. And I think that I made a joke about anticipating things going bad, but that's actually a really cool perspective, I think, to write from, you know.
I'm glad that they didn't resist starting and ending with the same lyrics. I love doing that when the lyrics give you an option into how to take the song.
Yeah.
And they did it. Sometimes I think the cycle never ends right at the beginning, and then they repeat it at the end. Like
A nice little coda.
It's lovely. This is...
Sisyphean.
Like
no book doctor. How do I say it right?
Yeah, book doctor.
Colton Saylor, book doctor. I actually have a selection of books right here. I have many books
in my coat,
and I've read them all. I've read all books. I was reading a book before today's podcast. No, I wasn't. I was playing Nintendo Switch before. I am so lost in Final Fantasy 12. It's not even funny.
I'm just back on GTA 5.
And we're on Game Talk, everyone. Hello.
But Expo 86, this was almost my favorite.
This is where we're in interesting territory. The sound of settling.
This is my least favorite song.
This was almost my least favorite song. Yeah. I give it the second least favorite spot.
This is tricky for me because this is ripe to be overrated. And it probably is overrated. Is this, I got to ask both of you though, there's something undeniable about this song. Am I wrong?
Oh, it's a fine, good song. It's catchy.
I deny that.
I just don't care.
It's a lazy chorus to me.
Yeah.
I think this is, and this is where I told you all, this re-listening was where I felt like I had kind of a reckoning with this band. And it's, we've had this on this podcast before where I've listened to records. I'm like, oh, Rob, it's great. We're going to love it. And we talk about it and I go, I have nothing good to say. And I don't know what's wrong with me. My childhood is dead. I think I always saw Death Cab as this heady, really, like, there is a depth to them that I always really appreciated. And I think probably in later records, it's still there.
I was about to say.
Like, Grapevine, I think that song is fantastic off of Narrow Stairs. So there's a lot.
That's my favorite song off of Narrow Stairs.
Yeah, but we're having a mini Death Cab episode, I know, in this. But
yeah, to an extent.
When I listen to a song like this, it reminds me that there's a lot of paper thin, like, there's just nothing there. You poke it and your finger goes right through.
Like, I think there's substance to the music for sure, the instrumentation.
Rob, I know you appreciate that the drums come in on the and of one.
Fucking course.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's the cool stuff to me. But I think, Alex, we harmonized it together.
Yeah, it's the same problem. Yeah. In high school, liked this record a lot more and haven't listened to it in a long time. So revisiting now, I'm kind of like, well, it's still good, but
is still good. We'll lean a little towards a positive right there. But
yeah, I'm just glad it's not like the Blink episode where I'm just like, love it, love it, love it. I can finally talk my
I'm not gonna lie. I love this too.
In your defense, Alex, we asked you to come up with a record that you love, and then you brought it, and we both were like, why do you love this so much? Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Don't lump me into that. I said that it's my favorite Blink album, which is saying a lot.
That's right.
That's saying a lot.
I always think there's something I can latch into with the song. Like, I don't know.
Can I actually do a quick step back?
Yes.
The worst song of 2024 is that Blink song.
Oh, that's a bad song.
That's a very bad song.
Wait, which one? Bad record. I'm assuming he's talking about the title track, the One More Time.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've heard
a little auto-tuned sad jerk off about their breakup, like
planes crashing.
Yeah, it's atrocious lyrics. Yeah.
And what makes it so bad is they were trying to be heartfelt and they're talking about really real trauma from their past.
And all of it it's just bad.
It's bad.
My least favorite song, which is hard for me, but it's also because it's probably the biggest disappointment for me, is Hate from Five Dice, All Threes.
There we go. We steered it back towards negative. I'm proud of us.
We did it. It's just such a, like, I felt like he's reached his, and maybe in a way Death Cab is saying old age is just around the bend. I'm scared that Conor Oberst has reached his, like, old man yelling at the TV phase.
Running where, out of shit to say.
Yeah, where he's just kind of, like, railing again. Like, it's very, like, edgelord, like, high school kid lyrics that is never him. And even on the same record, he's so thoughtful in other places.
Yeah, Connor, if you're really reaching that midlife crisis, I suggest starting a podcast in which you critique other people's music. It's helped me quite a bit.
But that's different because I do love some songs on that record, but same, I was a little sad.
Yeah.
All right. So I have my overrated. Alex has his. Rob, have you said anything yet? I mean, you've said things.
We both agreed on our... Oh, wait, no. Mine was... I had my underrated for title registration.
That's right.
And I think you agreed with me.
I did. I have my underrated, too. I'm burning everything. Just left
it would have
right
been now. My second as underrated, but I have a different one.
Oh, and Sound of Settling was my worst song.
All right. Now, we have Tiny Vessels.
This fits into lightness with me. Tori, just... You know, you are beautiful, but you don't mean a thing to me. But
yes.
I'm still going through with it. I'm telling her I love her. Just for, I'm assuming.
I think this is the song I meant when I was talking about earlier, when we were talking about lightness. It was this song I was thinking of.
Yeah.
There's something about, it's also just kind of funny when it's, so when you ask, is something wrong? And I think, you're damn right there is.
No wonder.
And he still doesn't put anything like that. He still just sings it in the Ben Gibbard soft, gentle, you're damn right there.
What's it? All the playful misspellings, every bite I gave that left a mark, when tiny vessels oozed into your neck and formed the bruises that you said you didn't want to fade, but they did. And so did I that day. Like, this is where it's an optical illusion, right? There's
songs about hickeys. That's gross.
This band and Ben Gibbard, I think...
I thought he was a vampire. Okay.
It kind of ruins my theory I've been talking about with Rob, where, like, I'm really invested in the sounds of words. And, like, Alex, I remember you and I talking about, like, where I don't write lyrics down. And I, like, everything is, which I do now, by the way, because I don't remember anything. It's tragic. But it was all about the how it hits the ear, right? And if I can remember from how it hits the ear, and it kind of gives me, it's like all melody too. And like the melody is strong enough and the lyrics kind of work with it. And it forced me to work the lyrics with the melody to where if it was written independently, it was divorced from the melody and I just knew it would never work. And so there's something about like what words to use that will give an impact, even just like outside of meaning. And so like when we've talked about bands like At the Drive-In, right? And Cedric, where I think his lyrics actually mean a lot more than people give them at first pass, but he's a master at exactly that, right? The lyrics are independent of meaning, just really enjoyable because he's so good at matching like the audible with each other. Ben Gibbard kind of ruins that theory because he has words and phrases that I think are on their own really beautiful. And then when I look at him for more, it's like one of those paintings where you have to double your vision, right? To see the image.
Magic eye.
Bring it like, in close and then pull it away.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it's just giving this person a hit. Like it kind of, it makes me upset.
I think you did exactly that. You were really in close years and years ago. And as it's pulled away, you're starting to see. This is not
what it is. Yeah. Yeah. This song is beautiful, but it don't mean a thing to me. That's what, that's my
there we go.
Wow. You're so ready for this podcast, buddy.
Yeah.
Hop on.
Not me with the lyrics at my phone down here. Like, what is this fucking song again? Oh yeah. I've been listening to it, re-listening to it like on my drive to work. And then before this podcast, gave it another listen, but
the middle section kind of washes out a little bit.
I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
If we're thinking about the same spot,
I'm talking like 4, 5, and 6, like middle section wise.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what we're about to talk about with this next track. Are we ready? Does this hit anyone's goose? That's an expression. I made it up.
Can I be honest? I never remember how the title track goes.
Does not hit any of my goose. It could have been, well, I won't say worst song, but I guess I just don't have the patience for these longer songs. My only memory of this song is like being one of the first songs that I listened to when I smoked weed for the first time. And I was just thinking like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And also, how is it still playing? I feel like I've been here for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which was partly the weed, but it is a 7-minute song that is just the same thing over and over and over again.
I know that it's not something that's really relatable for you, Colton, but I absolutely relate to what Alex just said there. It's like, yeah, like in a stone state of mind, that thing can take you somewhere.
Yeah.
And then when the song ends, it's like, where was I? You know, and that's how I feel about this song every time.
This is where I got to just say, I love this song. I love this song then. I listened to it. I love it now. I think it is. I think Death Cab has some weird moments in this record. There's some really like, we haven't hit my worst song yet, but I think it's truly atrocious. But this song's great. I love it. I think
I've liked it.
The appropriate amount of depth. And I think what we're talking about with like the way they try to piece things together and like build things in, it feels very intentional. That guitar line, that slide like up, it's beautiful. It's small. Like nothing overreaches. Like I don't know where I land on this band anymore, but I will say instrument wise, I always appreciate that nothing ever tries to do too much.
I agree with that. And once you brought up that guitar part, I started remembering how the song goes.
And I think he manages to, and maybe this is his strength, like when he's pulling back more on the lyrics, it's better for him. Like it's stronger. I don't know.
Like just the I need you so much closer is so beautiful. And like,
you're reeling me back in. I'm starting to remember how the song goes. That's my thing with this song. Every time, I've listened to this album for me doing my research, I listened to it at least 5 times. That song ends, and I'm like, I don't recall what happened. Maybe it is just too long for me. I enjoy it while I'm listening to it, but it's just the song ends, and I'm like super high, And I was like, I can't remember how.
I want you to go back and re-listen to literally every Streetlight Manifesto song that exists. And I want us to have another conversation about song length.
First of all,
I feel crazy.
I have. I don't know if you recall, but I like Streetlight Manifesto.
Which at this point, I think I should say it's one of our most listened to episodes of this podcast, which is bananas.
Well, that's back when we posted our on Reddit.
Alex, do you want to give your 10-second review of Streetlight Manifesto?
I have not much of an opinion on them.
Done. And everyone, that was love Alex. It. Shots fired. I can't believe.
That's I have it. Some friends that have sent me some songs, and they're good. Hmm. I feel like a poser listening to that.
There we go. Me over here with my collared sweater. And I'm like, yeah, now I feel like I look like a Streetlight Manifesto fan right now, actually.
Oh my god, Alex!
Notice Colton.
There's no rush, no stress. How are we doing on time, though?
We're good. I probably got a good like 20-25 minutes still.
It's a perfect date. Do you want to just bring her in? She could be on the podcast.
Actually,
I got so
behind
nervous.
Behind door number two.
Yeah, I was like, don't. He was joking.
I'll take you guys with me to the bar.
See, we'll be good. We'll talk.
I think
you
you're
up.
Closer to Colton.
Find out what she thinks of this record.
Who are you closer to, Colton or me?
Like geographically
distance,
wise,
distance wise,
yeah. not friendship wise.
I don't even know where you live, Colton. Are you still in like Santa Barbara? Where are you?
I'm in San Jose.
Then you're closer.
Because I was in traffic on our way home Thanksgiving. It was like a 9-hour drive. And
well, what, you're in San Jose. That's crazy. Let's go play a show. What are you doing?
I haven't played a show in fucking how long has it been? Rob,
you should go to a. Have you ever heard of Pacing? She's a San Jose local, just got signed to Asian Man Records.
No kidding.
Very good.
Some of my students on the last day of school, I was helping with the essay, and she said, by the way, why did you stop playing music? And I was like, what? And she she had found my, and then like her friend had also found it. And they
she
were like,
didn't
yeah,
know the answer
happened?
To that question?
I know. I was like, I wanted to say, well, you listen to it, right? So you know why I don't play it.
Come on now.
I'm a book doctor now. All right. Passenger seat, everybody.
Yes.
I give this my underrated.
That's good. I like that.
I think this song is beautiful. I love the piano line.
Yeah. I love the piano line. I love the lyrics to it. This is a moment where it's like it's create what Colton was talking about before, where it's like you can see the scenery of it all.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those songs he actually has a through line through the whole thing. Where like,
yeah, and I love that just like when he's looking at the satellites and shooting stars and like if they ever collide, and I did kind of have this really too on the nose viewpoint of it where I was like, clearly they didn't do the stars are way for, and then I'm like, no, stop, Rob. Then I go like there, but. Yeah, it's beautiful. I think it's such a cool moment in the album and just enhances the album that much more.
It's and this where again, I think it coming on the tail end of Transatlanticism, to me also it has the kind of fragility after Transatlanticism. It kind of if you all both remember not really remembering when the song ended, I want to say I think Passenger Seat is a reason why, because it really does
it is.
Bleed
I would,
in, right?
I'm so glad you said that, yeah. Because it would. All of a sudden it starts and I'm like, is this a new song? Wait, hold on. Mm. You know, and then I have to kind of look back.
Because I can't let anything just be nice, because I also really like this song. But I've always been bugged by, when you feel embarrassed, then I'll be your pride. When you need directions, then I'll be the guide. I don't like that. It's a very... It's like, you know, when you can feel someone searching for the rhyme, like when they have pride and he's like, okay, what's the next line? Guide.
Yeah, I knew guide was coming up. And I've listened.
Once he said directions, it's over.
Yeah,
exactly. I'll be your.
But I mean, what other word would have been better? You know, what other, because it still fits into what the song is detailing.
It is. It's just, I think, and on this record even. He is. It's better.
If you
would
have said "along for the ride," that would have driven me more crazier.
I just think
I'll be your ride.
Where you want to go, baby? Let's get going. I don't know. And
I think
sometimes
there's more interesting rhymes you can do where maybe you don't do the DE. You could go to something with mine or time or.
Okay. I love those type of rhymes.
Slanted, right?
Or it's like, it's still a rhyme, but maybe some people could say, well, that's not a rhyme because they have a fucked up skew of what a rhyme should be.
Yeah.
It's,
we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
That's right. With Caroline Polachek.
Yeah.
I think I have less patience.
So
I get
new,
less
Alex.
Excited. I get bummed out when I just like can already like sense the rhyme. And like, there's always some satisfaction, right? But it's also with Ben Gibbard too. He has sometimes have a very natural state in his lyricism where it really just is feel like everything's coming out and it just so happens to rhyme. And I think if you're wondering, that to me is like my like master thesis of great lyrics is when it feels effortless. When it feels like the ideas are what's driving it and the rhymes are there, but they like, you're not giving someone a gold star for a rhyme just because it's there. You're not, it's like with cinematography and films. When you notice what the camera's doing, the director's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
That's Colton's old man opinion. We're moving on now.
So for passenger seat, that was your underrated.
That's my underrated. Yeah.
That's a
beautiful
good selection.
Song.
I like it.
All right. We have, now my worst song, Death of an Interior Decorator. Also the worst song title. Worst everything.
Yeah, I don't have much strong opinions on this song either.
That's how I felt about the album Fear Inoculum. In case you don't know, Maynard James Keenan was a interior designer.
I'm trying to remember which song this even was, and looking into lyrics, I'm like, oh,
can
yeah.
Can you tell me why you have been so... That is why.
Yeah.
I don't know who okayed that. Like, I want, like, the thing that I miss about being in a band and like, or playing with Rob, because Rob would always, Rob had a very nice way of telling me no to things. We're just no. Just like, you need that person, I think, to check you. I don't know. Alex, do you have anyone in your life that checks you with birthday dad?
I don't, and I need some checks in there. I need somebody to maybe say, oh, no. I've checked myself a couple times.
That's good.
Thankfully.
That's good to have that internal monologue to...
I just think someone
internal
should...
Internal dialogue, sorry.
It's irresponsible. It's malpractice that they're like, that's the melody? That's the... All right, let's do it. Let's roll
TV
with
dinner
it.
Dinner almost ended with like a YouTube rip of like a party popper going off and kids going, yay! Like... That would have been so fucking stupid. And like an extended like military horn outro.
Alex, do you know a My Friend Sam record? It literally ended with the last track with a bunch of, it's like one of those like digital things of kids going, yeah.
Yeah. And well, we
Rob
probably would
going,
have the same.
And Rob going, shut up, kids.
The humor was there. Was that the same one that started with a rooster?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
that was Fuck the Alamo, the
See,
EP.
When Colton said in a band, I would tell him to not do stuff, in that band, we didn't tell each other not to do things. We just went like, of course we're doing it.
Encourage you.
We
yeah,
were,
the idea
the
came
more
up.
Rooster sounds.
Yeah.
We were id. We were pure id in that band. And that was so fun to be nothing but it, where everything was a go. It was like, yeah, let's do that.
Let's go for it.
But then when you listen back to it, it's like having footage of you drunk at a party where you're like, oh, wow, we really
well,
went for it.
The band sounds like they're drunk at a party on that one.
Oh, my God. This is
you scared me for a moment because I thought the next song when you were like, now we're going into my least favorite song. I was about to say, oh, no. But then I realized it was Death of an Interior Decorator.
Yeah, that song just bums me out. I skip it usually when I'm hearing it. It also is the most kind of, it ruins the vibe of the record. I think like it's the melody, it's the music too. I don't like the drums. I don't like the like it's all
jerky. I think it's kind of playful towards the end. I kind of like the like clapping in the background to where I think that the percussion kind of guides it out well enough, but I don't like the song either.
Fair. We looked like giants. Track 10,
my favorite song. I listen
best,
to this.
That's best song, baby.
I listen to this song all the time. Like this
finally
is...
some fucking teeth.
Yes. When you were
songs.
Talking about the teeth, I was like, I'll save it.
All I want from them. This song is perfect.
Oh, amazing.
God bless the day. Like he actually has some emotion in his voice on this one.
Oh, and the drumming on it, I think, is fucking top notch. And just when it hits that part that Alex just sang, like to where the what the drums do right there, to where they let it breathe for a second and then go into the drum beat with that cool bass groove. Oh, it's so good.
A great chorus. Like, I think all the choruses on this record are kind of lacking. This has got a good fucking chorus.
I feel like Alex's energy right now. Like, I got excited when you said
like, the rest of the songs keep me asleep until this one. And I'm like, yeah. And I was surprised because I feel like usually, like, the back half, I was like, I probably didn't listen to the back half as much when I was younger. And it had some of the better songs for a few of them and some of the worst. But
I do love the, what is it? And you'd skip your early classes and we learned how our bodies worked. Like, there's some good.
That's a
like,
cool line.
There's a lot of that, like, again, the specificity that I really like from him, and it's there here. And I think you already mentioned it. It's, I don't know if I'd heard them heavy before, and I don't think they really do it. Like, I don't know if I could think of another Death Cab song that goes this hard.
I know, and it's so cool because it's like, there's nothing to really fully grab to except for really the drum beat in that heavy part, because the guitar parts are kind of, I don't know if I would say conflicting. They're obviously vibing together, but it's just a little separated to where it creates this like nice spacey vibe behind it. It feels like the first time they hit it heavy, it's kind of like, oh, okay, what's this? And then as the song progresses and it keeps coming back to that moment, it's like, okay, now it's drilling it even more home. It's like I'm getting even more familiar with it. And then it has a cool little bridge where it's just a nice little drum beat, baby.
That kind of when everything drops out, it's like, I don't know about you, but I swear they could smell out of my breath. That's it's also very cool. Like, it's a weirdly cool song and a record I like, but also admittedly not a very cool record.
Yeah, this is probably not my favorite of all time Death Cab song, but it might be my most listened to.
Interesting.
It'll just pop into my head randomly every now and then. I'm going like, I'm going to go listen to We Look Like Giants. That song's so good.
Doesn't it ever bug you when you hear a band that feels like when you hear a version of them, they're like, they nailed it. That's it. That's the band. And then they never do it again.
Why never go back to it. Yeah.
It's.
I want to hear a Death Cab record that sounds like heavy, like Jimmy Eat World, like something just with more.
Agree though? He kind of adds a little bit of teeth to his vocals, but he really doesn't. It's like,
no, not too much. But
I think that we learned how
a big step.
Yeah.
We learned how our bodies worked.
He just came. I don't know, he sang that line.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy I'm not alone on that one. Like I said, Colton scared me. I thought that this was the song he was going like, and now we're going into my least favorite song.
Oh,
I was
going to
be like, we're at odds here, buddy.
No. I like it. I think for me, I guess it's always even like with album to album, I think of it's the Alien Theory, Rob. And I think Transatlanticism is to me the best version of what they usually do on this record. I feel like this is like an anomaly
I can see
where
that.
It is on the record. I think it's fantastic, but I don't know.
Well, I think it's exactly what Alex said, to where it kind of wakes you up from like you've been kind of lulled to sleep. And the whole album, based off of what they were trying to go for, is like this sense of you're almost on a car ride or on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so this is, I don't know, the car crash or, I don't know, the excitement. We're about to get there.
So we have
finally
the,
about to be over. I don't know.
We have the, if you're, picture both of you, you're at a house party. It's the 2000s. You're in high school. There's an acoustic guitar lined up somewhere. And a young Colton Sailor is at this party. And he sees the acoustic guitar and he sits down on the couch. What is the song that he plays? It's Lack of Color. And everybody wanted to play that song because it is before I Will Follow You Into the Dark. It is the the You Are I Will Follow You Into the Dark. It is that. It's my overrated. I like it. I think it's a beautiful song, but it's the seminal, like, dude bro acoustic.
It gets my worst song for that main reason. I don't care about your typical like indie rock acoustic closer, like we gotta close with an acoustic song. I will say that the one redeeming quality is them trying to continue with the loop and like the flow of the album by ending it, and it starts with the same like sound as the beginning of the new year.
Yeah. I will say this was the first song that when I was learning guitar, and like I was very much still learning when I learned this song, where it's like, call it 703, and then does a little that slightly kind of like minor that. I was like, I've never done that before. I didn't know you could do that. Like,
yeah.
I had fun. But
yeah, no, I do recall you playing this, but I don't have, because the scenario, he's like, picture this. I'm like, I'm going into my memory bank. This is this has occurred.
But I got it.
Yeah. But I don't have an opinion on this song, because as far as I'm concerned, the album had already ended.
That's they should have ended already. I don't know why they, after the best song on the album, they bring us down with this one, but.
This is
it's
now
a fine song.
New tradition of this podcast is, how would we make the album better? What would we cut? I did this with Thriller. Well, I cut out the darn guard. Gosh darn girl is mine. Get you, that song out of that record.
You kind of kept it in. It was a, you just rearranged the track listing.
I did. I rearranged, but we think, how could we make a record better? Because we obviously know better. And
Alex's yawn was a good indication that was a bad idea that we did that.
No, I think having a lack of color last, like, for this to be like a kind of artifact of the 2000s, it works. It's what it should be, right?
Oh yeah,
it couldn't have been anything else. It had to, but I don't know how I feel about this record anymore. I think you all have poisoned me. No, I was already poisoned.
I have two different rankings for it, which I think we should just do the rankings now before we go to commercial break, and we can close out the episode, Colton, and Alex could get to the bar.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
But I have two different ways I was going to rank this. I could either rank this as just an album in general amongst all albums, or a Death Cab album. Or if I did a Death Cab album, I'm giving this probably like a 2.5, maybe a 3 out of 5. But as an album in general, because I do still respect them and I can see a lot of art in it, I'll probably give this a 3.5 as album in general out of 5.
I think I'm going to say, I was leaning towards 2.5 or 3. I'll give it the 3. It's a good record. It's fine. I think it just made me realize, oh, maybe I don't like Death Cab as much as I thought I did. They're a great band, but
maybe what we'll have to do, and well, actually, Colton, you go with yours first, and then I'll throw out this idea.
It's funny, because the band I kept thinking of when we were talking about this is The Shins, because I feel like they are of a similar ilk around the same time, and it's like around the 2000s, and like the soundtrack that I was is like Garden State, where everyone had the Garden State soundtrack, and I know Death Cab's not on there, but it's that explosion of like indie music and MySpace, and that it's all this huge just like Pollock painting in my brain that I can't unpack from each other, and Death Cab is always in that spot.
Yeah, I
think this is, as a record, it's a good lesson to people who are trying to write songs about approach, but also intent, and like with lyrics especially, because like we're all talking about an album that has some great production and there's some really cool songwriting stuff here, but it's now it's disturbingly empty, I think is a way to put it. And also some of it is the way that he accesses his emotions about like breakups and things. It's not, I mean, not everyone always has relations to that, and it's hard to put yourself back into it. Like, I've written songs about breakups and then listened to them after and gone, oh, who's that dude? Like, yeah. Why am I so upset?
Does he look back and cringe at some of
he's got to.
And that's what I'm curious about. I think that's the lesson to me, though, is like, not everyone gets to write albums. And what I've always wanted is like, when you write an album, like, make it count, like say something with it. And I think the sad thing to me when I hear this record is so much of it feels weirdly more like window dressing. Rob, we were talking about Milk Carton Kids in the same way, where there's songs about people and there's songs about scenery. There's a lot of scenery songs on this record. I think it's a 3. I think it's a 3. I don't know what else to put it.
That's all right. I'm the more positive one, which I'm okay with this. And actually, I get to be the most positive one, even with Alex here.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.
But I agree with everything you guys said, but it's just, that's the album he wrote then. I'm sure that he has some cringe moments, but I wouldn't imagine that he wasn't putting his all into it. And based off of my research, they were putting their all into it. They were trying not to force everything and trying to you know, meditate on songs and not necessarily just let's go in the studio and do a
right. Sonically, it's very intentional and beautiful and layered.
And I think they'll go on to do better things. Like we already talked about plans.
I'm certain they do.
I got to throw out love for We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes. Like that is a really good record. I love it. And that's before Transatlanticism. Like I think for a lot of people and like they've gone on saying like Chris Wallace said, that's his favorite record they've ever done is We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes. I have not heard a lot of later Death Cab. Alex, you have. What's like, what for you is the evolution in like the kind of back half?
Well, at least with the newest one from listening to it, it kind of has the We Looked Like Giants vibe where it's a little more, I mean, I think a little more electronic with some of the stuff.
I think I cut out on Narrow Stairs, so I'm not sure.
I didn't listen to it too much, but I remember enjoying it when I heard it a couple times when it came out.
I think everyone has that like moment where they get off the escalator with the band. And I think hearing like, the lead singer of Codes and Keys, I was like, I think this is where we part ways. God bless.
You brought up
that album existed.
Yeah. You brought up three earlier, and I remember the first time listening through that album. I can't remember the name of the album, but I listened through it, and I was like, "Oh, I think I just found my new band. I'm about to really, really get in on this." And I started listening to it the next time around. And I was like, "No, it was just a moment. It was just a passing moment. I don't think this is going to stick with me."
Oh my Lord. Well, I think that wraps it up for Death Cab. Any closing thoughts on this album or the new year?
Well, actually, here's a good way of going with it. Alex, what do you got in store for? What has Birthday Dad got in store for us for the new year?
Look out for hopefully the new record in 2025. Working on it now.
Word.
Love to release it.
Are you going to be doing shows?
Probably fucking not. I don't know. Maybe a few. We're gonna set up one with Colton in Santa.
Alex is gonna drag me out.
Let's
of
go. Let's go play Art Boutique with the pacing.
Well, I know we're still trying to mess around with the idea of doing a No Pants Fest, and
yeah, that would be. I'll play that show.
Yeah, if that occurs,
I'm interested.
Yeah, I don't know where you're gonna crash, but I mean, I'm sure somebody will give you lodging.
His parents can bring the RV.
I'm going to hit up my parents' RV for my... Hey, everybody, there's only enough space for one person on that inflatable mattress. That's yours truly. I'm hitting it up.
I think you and Alex could fit.
It's
like the Titanic.
Excited.
It's all like Titanic, man. I think there's enough room on there. Don't let Alex sink. Or drown.
Lord. Alex, it's always a joy to have you on this podcast.
A great honor to be here.
We love you, dude. We're going to go to our ad break. And on the other
right,
side,
go to MeUndies/KnowYourRights for 15% off.
Man, he's Blue Apron.
Yeah.
All of
that's
it.
Right.
That's everybody.
All
right.
The Bass Blown family. We won't have Alex on the other side. So everybody say bye, Alex. We love you.
Goodbye. I love
bye,
you.
Alex. We love you.
Love you, Colton. Love you, Rob.
And he loves the listeners, too. Jesus, dude. Come on.
Love all the listeners. Thank you for listening to us.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Bass Blown Entertainment podcast. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Danko, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Bass Blown Entertainment podcast.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah. Colton, you forgot to let us all know. When was bedtime?
I was afraid we're going to go a lot longer. Like around 8 o'clock is when I'm like, oh, getting about that time. So whatever show Casey and I want to watch, like that's where we have to kind of get it in. Like, all right, let's get it in. Let's watch the show.
Okay.
45 minutes. And then around 9 o'clock is where the flossing happens. I don't know if everyone wants to hear my nighttime routine, but I do floss every night. It's good to do.
Man, and I don't floss. I should floss more.
I'm afraid for listening back to this episode, how tired I'm going to sound. I think we were reasonably energetic.
Not bad. I started off a little curmudgeon-y.
But I don't think either of us are good. People have heard us in a post 5 o'clock episode. We really shine Sunday at 2:30. That's our ideal talking time.
Yes, I'm ready at that moment. I've gotten some good sleep.
Can I say though, buddy? I talking to you close to Christmas like this. I know it's a New Year's episode, but I just like talking to you near Christmas. It feels like a little Christmas celebration, holiday celebration.
I agree. Did you notice the shirt? I don't know if you can make it out.
It's Peanuts, man.
Yeah, there, Peanuts. It's beautiful. I was like, I'm going to put that on, put that in the background for Colton. You can't see because of the huge glare on my vinyl. But that was also for you.
No, I can't see it.
It's kind of blue.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was man. I was trying to create an atmosphere.
You just speak in my more with language.
More of the visual bits for the listeners. So I hope everybody enjoyed, Alex. That was fun for us.
And also just a thank you for listening to us for another year, another calendar year, 2024. I think what Rob and I can both say, this end of this year got a little crazy.
Yes.
And nothing's happening. And, you know, episodes are out and things have happened. But it's crazy to keep seeing the listens are there.
Yeah, that's very cool. I couldn't be more thankful. We probably should have done this around Thanksgiving. But I am very thankful.
I wasn't thankful around Thanksgiving. That's
there was a little bit, curmudgeons. But I really do. It makes me so happy. I think I told Colton when we first started doing this, if we ever dip below, I think I've said it in previous episodes, but I'll say it again. If we ever dip below 5 listeners an episode, we could just call each other every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We've never even been close to just 5.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listens, but we have listeners and we have plays, and that makes me happy.
I'm like, and people that go back to listen to the old ones, it's a cool thing, man. I think both of us love podcasts. We also just love talking to each other more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I think people go to podcasts for the same reason. It's just you're looking to get lost in something, and maybe you're just doing something else. It's just a cool thing. So we appreciate it. We love you all. We hope you all had a great year, safe holiday season.
Yes.
And we're gonna get back into it. 2025.
We're doing another year.
We're rolling, man.
And it is my turn to choose.
And it is time for our first episode of this year. This is actually fun. Was what? Do you remember? I do. I think I picked it.
I want to say Arctic Monkeys, but I think I'm wrong.
It was Arctic Monkeys was after that.
Okay.
It was my choice. You did Daft Punk for our New Year's Eve episode.
I did. I mean, I could.
It's another actually episode with a lot of listens. Modest Mouse.
I like that you're giving me hints for.
I know. I'm like, come on, buddy, come on. Modest Mouse was great.
That does have a lot of listens, and that was a great conversation and also a fun time. I don't really know what you feel about this band.
I love the start of this. This is fun. Okay.
This is a band that at one point in time was considered very influential to a lot of bands. And they had a run there to where some people thought it's the greatest band that's ever been. And now
you have my attention.
Now it just seems like their t-shirt is a fashion statement more so than them being a great band. And I love this band. Very influential to me, actually. But let's see.
You're looking at your phone as if you're still trying to decide what that band is.
I know the band. What I'm doing right now is trying to find hints.
Can I, everyone, just so you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at Rob looking down at his phone and scrolling as he's talking, and his eyes are just frantically going left to right. And I'm like, I don't think he knows the band he's talking about.
I think my first hint, you'll understand.
Okay.
The one that I just said, like, now this band is a fashionable t-shirt to wear.
Okay. You said it's 4 albums. You said that off air, but 4 albums.
It is 4 albums.
Like that they have done total, or just 4 that you're choosing?
four albums that this band has done.
Okay, okay. So they're not, it sounds like you were saying they're an older band.
Oh, they are.
Okay, okay. I don't have anything.
All right. Let's see. I'm going to start with one that's clearly going to make it difficult. School. Yeah, you're not going to get it off of that. Terrible hint. Terrible hint. Sorry.
I mean, I think I have guesses.
Give me a guess here.
Wait, I need to look at something real quick. Oh, never mind.
That's cheap.
I know. Well, you look at stuff too. I see you do that. I had to decide when you said school, I thought of Pink Floyd. I was like, Pink Floyd has more than four records, and they do. They have a ton of records.
Yeah, they so definitely
not
do.
Pink Floyd.
And Floyd is coming up in the future. So
that's I would love to listen to Pink Floyd with you.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
Let's see. I can't say that one just yet. Let's go with Bloom.
Bloom. School and Bloom.
Yeah.
These are names of songs?
Yeah. Bloom is part of the name of a song. And school is vague.
Can you give me a genre? Is that allowed?
No. If I say the genre, you'll guess it.
Okay, okay, okay. I got another. I need another clue.
All right.
Gym Class Heroes?
No. Okay. Not bad, though.
Thank God,
say this
by
one?
The way.
I can't say that. I'll say Spirit.
Oh! I get it now. I know what we're doing. I'm excited. Okay. Nirvana.
It is Nirvana. The other one, the other hint was going to be Polly. But
no.
I can't. If I say Polly, it's over.
I'm excited. This will be great.
Yeah. I still do love this band, but this was like me getting into like it was like junior high transitioning into high school. All of a sudden I became a big Nirvana fan and got just transfixed by the whole story of Kurt Cobain.
So can I ask, because I know there's the three, are you counting the Unplugged as the
I'm
fourth?
Not counting the Unplugged.
Okay. So what's the fourth?
The fourth. So it's, I got Bleach, Nevermind, Incesticide, and In Utero.
Incesticide. What is Incesticide?
We could actually possibly cut that out. The only I felt like we should keep it in is because it's got Been a Son. That's a big song, Son of a Gun. But that's all like from a session.
It's a compilation, right?
Is it?
It's it's Incesticide. It's listed under compilation records. But it's like it consists of their 1990 non-album single Sliver. And demos, outtakes, cover versions. I mean, I'm down to listen to it. I don't care.
Yeah, just because certain songs off of that album, I'm like, well, that's like Silver Sliver, sorry. My eyes are playing games on me now. But yeah, Sliver, I think, is an essential song to me by them.
Do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I would love to do Unplugged, but it's a bunch of live stuff. And I mean, I'll just say it now. I think their cover of Lake of Fire is so good. But I'll just have that playing in the background right now to kind of give everybody.
Yeah, we're good to go. I am very excited for this. We're going to listen to those four. Everybody enjoy. Listen, this is going to be, I think that's good New Year's Eve music. Well,
do you like Nirvana?
You know, we can talk more about it in the episode. I have,
of course,
it's one of those bands where I think I've underappreciated them for what they've done. And a lot of that is because I don't think I've ever fully respected the power of Nirvana.
Yeah.
Like when I was young is when Kurt Cobain killed himself. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was not what we would call online. Like my brain had not snapped to acknowledge things around me.
Yeah. Like I got into him probably 6 years after.
Right. Yeah. And so I think for a lot of those reasons, I have never really been appreciative of what they are. I think afterwards is when I've kind of looked back to listen to songs and really like love what they're doing. And I will talk about this, but I think we both do. We love trios.
Oh like, yeah.
Power. I don't know if there's any greater like band buildup than that. And like so many great, like even if there's like a singer that's separate, I just think it's such a great incentive to build like balanced music. The arrangements, if they do it right, are really fun. So for all those reasons, I'm excited. I think what this is going to do is give me an opportunity to come away actually feeling like I'm a fan.
Yeah, or not. But I mean, I think you can appreciate what I said. There are a lot of people who wear a Nirvana t-shirt just for fashion.
And well, now everything starts to make sense. The school one, I wasn't sure. What is that? What's the school?
It's a
one?
Song.
It smells like school spirit. I see. The school.
Sure, you can say that. It's off of Bleach.
Oh, fair. Yeah.
Just trying to be vague. Just fanfare.
Just vaguing it, everybody. Well, buddy, thank you for this. I'm excited. Everyone, hope again, check out Birthday Dad. Have a very safe New Year's.
Yes, please. We're looking forward to seeing you guys on the other side.
Yeah. Designated drivers, all that goodness.
2025,
man. What are we doing this now until we're old men? I think we could do it.
Well, yeah. Remember, I already have a cultural rhombus for Tool for 7 years, and also Lakers didn't make it. Damn it.
Yeah. Also, we haven't talked about the secret brand new show that happened, where they supposedly played new songs.
We'll talk about that next episode.
Next episode, everybody. 2025. All right, everyone. I wanted to just slip that in. A little teaser, everybody.
Yes.
Awesome.